Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thanks everyone for coming on and signing. Let me get this right. Hold on. Trying to get everybody on. It is safe to say that this second Saturday came quicker than I had anticipated. It definitely is second Saturday. This is here quicker than I thought. But nevertheless, we are making phenomenal momentum. So let's carry on with it. Oh, my gosh. Let me get everybody on the line. Be patient with us. All right, if somebody can open us up with prayer, that would be phenomenal. Anybody on the line, just open us up with prayer.
Most gracious God, our Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together to bring forth the vision for the strategic planning meeting. God, we ask your presence. We ask your provision. We ask your wisdom. God, we pray that you continue to unify us and keep our hearts knitted together as we go forth to bring healing and wholeness to your people. So we just ask right now in the name of Jesus for your blessings, for your encouragement, and for the guidance that is necessary to bring this next event to fruition. To God be the glory. We just thank you, Lord, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So as we recap, or as we pick up from where we left off on last month, I am turning to that page. One of the things we want to be make sure that we accomplish today, the main goal for today is definitely to make sure that we have our assignment for July, so we can kind of do a brief recap, very brief, and then just kind of make sure we are all aware of what capacity we will serve for the July roundtable. The July roundtable, the focus is still Christ conversation to the, okay? And so it's still all about understanding who he is. We looked at some scriptures. We were responsible for visiting Psalms 119, Psalms 34, 2 Kings 20, Isaiah 59. And we were looking at Christ in the midst of a crisis, from Christ to crisis. We were looking at from Christ to crisis. We were looking at Christ as the way, he is the truth, he is the life. We had the responsibility of defining crisis just so that we could kind of move it forward and begin to understand how we implement Christ in the midst of it. So that's where we are headed today. I'm also, just as a side note, want to share with people hope that, you know, as the city or our country actually is opening up, and definitely the city, we received some emails just saying, you know, you guys have been at our hotel before. Is this something you're looking at or considering for 2022? So I was very excited about those emails for the potential to do conferencing from a different perspective for 2022. So just want to keep that in mind, because it would be phenomenal to move forward with some 2022 information in 2021 in helping people begin to prepare for that. So definitely want us to keep that in mind as we are moving forward. Okay? Okay, sounds good. All right, I think everybody is on now and your mics are open. If it isn't, just retext me and I'll see what it is. Moving forward, we are set for the July 10th. It is going to be another Zoom, but we actually also talked about the possibility of doing something on site as well as Zoom. So let's just solidify that. Are we interested in the July 10th one to be all virtual?
Yes.
Somebody said yes?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Anybody else?
Yes.
I hear.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Lynette.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That definitely works well for us. So, okay, mm-hmm. I made a note of it. It is an all-virtual symposium. This one is more of a roundtable kind of visit the doctor's office concept. And so when we were speaking before, we were looking at the various areas in which to consider, or I should say to focus on. So let's go from there.
Oh boy.
So we definitely talked about voices from the church, the culture, clinician, clergy, coaches, clients, and counselors. And doing some Christ Chronicles. That sounds pretty interesting. So let's just format this and kind of get a feel for how we want to go. July, this is July 10th. So do we still want to look, do we want the focus to look like Christ in the midst of crisis or Christ in crisis? I believe that came up last week, Christ in crisis.
Hey, don't touch.
In the midst of crisis. Well, I think we continue to look at that. There. So we will do Christ in crisis, and we can create a series of conversations around what our crisis looks like and how we find or connect with, I know you guys wanted to alliterate, so how we connect with Christ in the midst of the crisis. So one of the assignments that we had was a what connection with Christ and crisis. One of the assignments that we had was looking at some scenarios in Scripture. So when we came back today, we were supposed to have some scriptural scenarios of the different crises that are relevant today. Would you all like to begin to share them so we can pull from some and move forward?
Well, price in crisis. I think we need to identify Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did in other people's crisis. So, say, for instance, Mary, when her brother died, what did he do? How did he respond? So Christ, in our crisis, should respond the same way. His first thought was not what man thought that he should do, but rather it was he had a confidence in the Father's plan. And so he proceeded that way. Man would have said, drop everything, go to your friend. He's got different things. But that's not what Christ did in that crisis. So just looking at each step of what Christ did and how he did it, and even how he, like the strength that he did it in, as we identify that, then we can share that with people in crisis, because they're going to respond the way Christ responded in other people's crisis, and even in his own crisis. When they told him, don't go back into the city because they're going to kill you, he was in a crisis mode. But what did he do? What did he say? And what was it based upon of what he believed? And it was that when he got his power.
Is it on that page?
You say believe, okay?
Somebody put their phone on mute.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anybody else?
Can she repeat what she said? Because there's a lot of background noise. I couldn't hear her.
Basically, the summation of what Overseer said was, what was Christ's role in other people's crisis? What does Christ's role need to look like in our crisis? I need somebody to call Archbishop Akapai. In our crisis, what did Christ do, say, and believe in these various scenarios or these various crises? So I know the different people look. I know that different people looked up various scriptural scenarios. I'm not sure if Elder Roberta's on the line, but I definitely know people looked up different scriptural scenarios. So this is a good time to give us those scenarios so that we can begin to begin to see which ones we're going to use.
I'm on the line about it, but I can't find my notes.
The brother.
Yes. I looked up, I can't remember where it is, but, and I'm trying to remember whose son he was. When mm-hmm. he killed, he had his brothers killed. 70 brothers was killed because he wanted the seat of the king. But I can't find my notes, and I don't know. And even though he took that seat, I don't believe that God allowed him to prosper in it because he was didn't have the right heart.
Okay.
So, if I'm not mistaken, but I can't remember whose son he was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No problem, Elder. Okay, well, and you're going to be giving your scripture, and there's somebody else is on the line, you know, that is familiar with that passage. They could just give us the scripture so that we can have it. Because I think that that, again, speaks to the violence of what's going on.
Is she talking about Abimelech in Judges 9?
Hold on.
Roberta?
Yes?
What's your story again? Tell the story again.
Okay. There was a son to a king, and he had his brothers killed. He killed 70 of his brothers.
That's Abimelech. Judges 9.
But I can't remember who his father was right now. But he did not prosper. God did not let him prosper because his heart wasn't right in his, you know, what he did.
Gideon was Abimelech's father, wasn't he?
I don't know because I can't find my notes, so
right.
I can't remember.
No, understand. Well, okay, we can get that one. I definitely know we have it because we talked about it. So we will get that because that's a very good. Excuse me.
Well, Abimelech was the son of Gideon in Judges 9. If that's what she's talking about.
Let me get my Bible. Then the other one I brought up was Tamar.
Tamar.
She was molested by this man, and her brothers had them to be circumcised.
Right.
And then they killed them because they had violated his sister. I believe it was it Absalom? Was it Absalom that took vengeance for his sister or what?
Yeah, I know who you're talking
Absalom
about.
Absalom who took vengeance for his sister. Yeah. I don't know what in the world I did with my notes. I can't help them.
Does anybody else have any scenarios?
What's the time frame for this? Did you get that far yet? How long it's going to be? Then that will probably determine how many scenarios you want to do.
Well, I was listening. We were coming back to this meeting with scenarios, and based off of the scenarios and what we were going to do with it, we could solidify how much time was needed to accomplish the varying scenarios.
Oh, okay.
Man on two numbers, the same number twice. Since it doesn't sound like we have a lot of it doesn't sound like we have a lot of scenarios on the table. So then I think that because we're looking at, we were trying to narrow down whose this conversation would be with. So I believe that what we will just do with that in mind is we can look at whether this conversation is just going to be, maybe we were trying to find out a progressive way, whether it's going to be just with the church or with the church culture and clergy or clinicians. And then based on that, we'll just come up with two scenarios for each one, and one biblical and one maybe current event. And we'll create dialogue around that on what the response should, this is what the voice of Christ is saying to the church, and then what the what culture or our communities are saying and doing, and then what the proper response would be, or should be, I should say. How does that sound?
I'm not sure I got all of that.
Quick question, Apostle. Are we going with what, are we doing a mixture of both, what Overseer said, Christ and crisis, or are we going to look at how Christ responds to a crisis?
Well, I guess for me it was the same thing, but you hear something different. So talk to me about what you hear. Because I still hear those same conversations with Christ in his chamber, only this time the conversations with Christ in his chamber is about crisis. And so this is how Christ responds to the crisis. This is what he's saying to the church or to culture, to clinicians, clergy, whomever this is geared towards, so that we can kind of extract from that.
Okay, I guess we can have conversation centered around both ways. Well, what I heard Overseer say was Christ was in crisis, and it's almost like would the church or would the church clinician counselors give him the same, would we give him an advice that how he responded when she said, like, you know, his best friend, one of his best friend, but one of his good friends was dying, he went away. Would that be how the church would respond when, you know, he was faced to whether obey his mother or obey? So I guess when she said that, those were the kind of train of thought that came. Or do we look at him in crisis and how he responded, and that is how we as a church, then we pull or we hone in on that skill, anointing, and that's how we're teaching individuals to respond. I guess you could look at that both ways. I guess you could say Lazarus is in crisis and how Christ responded, but it sounds like Overseer pointed out that Christ was in crisis too because that was somebody he loved. So I don't know if I complicated it, but that was my thought. Sorry.
I think it's phenomenal. Oops, I keep spelling that wrong. I think it's phenomenal to start off with Christ in crisis, because I don't know that as Christians we think of Christ being in a crisis. But I think if we use that from a foundational perspective, and then we build up, I just think that that's a good progression. We look at Christ in the various crises that came Christ's way. What was his response? How did he respond? Then, you know, the crisis that came to the church. What was the response, and, you know, what should it be? And then crisis to our communities or however wherever we want to go from there. So I just think that that's a good progression.
So okay, it's not like we got the format.
Create scenarios then, right?
I can't. Two people were talking, but so it's just we do it one at a time, I probably can answer. Why not?
Based on what Prophet just said, I had a different thought, so never mind.
I mean, this is a perfect time to share our varying thoughts, because it doesn't have to come out the same way, but it gives us a perimeter in which to look, or a scope to look at how to proceed forward with this. So what was your thought?
I was thinking more of taking the scripture, you know, scriptural scenarios and making it an everyday situation. You know, so like, you know, Roberta gave the example of, you know, she gave a couple examples. You know, you got someone being molested by a family member. That happens every day, you know. And then you have the situation where, you know, someone killed their brothers. I mean, why not? So that's what my thought was. Make it today.
I think that's what we're saying. It's a progression, so that, you know, you may spend 30 minutes on one, another, then the next level, 30 minutes, and then the last level, an hour. So I definitely think the whole to bring it current, okay, so to travel through time, looking at how prices actually haven't changed. The players have, but it hasn't. Okay, we, you know. And God's response, we need to see the consistency of his response in the midst of all the varying types of crisis. So I definitely think we're all on the same page. We're just looking at it progressively, and everybody's focus is on a different tier or on a different level. And I think that's what's going to make this work. Because we're not all going to focus on the same thing. So maybe this group of people focus on the first hour, this group on the second, and then we tie it all together with the last group or whatever.
Apostle. I'm sorry, go ahead. You go.
No, I'll come after you. It's going back.
Okay, so based on what you said, Apostle, James 1, verses 2 through 4 is the overall scenario of what you're asking, I think. So it says, "Count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So the basically everything that you're saying is the various kinds of crises that anyone could be in. This would be the scripture that describes that. Matthew is another one. Matthew 11:28. You know, he's giving directive there. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are varying scriptures like that that says when you're anxious, when you're tempted, you know, what to do when. And then we can pick a scenario from scripture where people were anxious or burdened and that kind of thing, even Christ's own scenarios. Is that what you're describing?
Yes, that is definitely an integral part of the process.
Okay.
So you're giving the healing scriptures for it. We need to come up with the conversation surrounding it. We need to identify the crisis. Then the conversation, and then who crisis conversation to the church, to the, I don't know, community, to collisions, to clergy, whomever. So we definitely have to narrow down the three that we want to focus on so that we can...
I think I'm so bottom line on top that when I hear hear what you're saying, my mind goes right to what the Bible says the answer is, as opposed to identifying a specific crisis. But I get what you're saying. Identify the three major topics you want to talk about, which again could be exactly what Overseer said. His own crisis, the people's crisis, and even our own crisis as three different categories, theirs, his, and ours.
Exactly. And what the response is going to be, so that may be the answer, but what is the strategy to get to that answer? Because it is going to vary depending on whom he's speaking to.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm there.
Wonderful. All right, so this is what we can begin to look at, Joy. Let me turn back to this page. So we're doing, this is a question. Are we staying with the concept of conversations with Christ in or from his chambers? That's the first question.
Ooh. I don't know, but
so
somebody
said something.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. Well, I guess I needed to get clarity when you was talking about conversation. And I was going back to Abimelech. In that scenario, God spared the youngest brother because he hid, so he was not murdered with the other brothers. Because when you was talking about what was that Overseer said about seeing, I guess Christ in the crisis. It was a crisis for the brothers, but the youngest brother hid himself. So I take it that God spared him, J-O-T-H-A-M, in the midst of this evilness of his brother. But in these conversations, and you said look at the culture, like looking at the culture during that time, and going back to Tamar's situation. I was talking, I thought there were two young ladies. I don't know if both of them name was Tamar, but David's daughter was taken advantage by his brother. So I guess in that day, he could have married her, been given permission to marry her, since he was not of the same mother, I guess. I don't recall the story. If he had, but even in looking at that, even after he did what he did, then he despised me. So, you know, coming up to this day, these things are still happen. But I think the culture has changed, and you cannot or should not close relatives. But maybe in other countries, I don't, but in the United States, I don't think
that's the problem.
People.
So,
and that wasn't approved, ma'am. So, in looking at in like situations like this, what is it that you want us to bring forth out of an apostle?
Do this. We are creating
a chamber or a living room scenario. And Christ is having a conversation with clergy, with the culture, with his church, with, I don't know, clients, pick who he's having a conversation with. And we're looking at the different crisis scenarios. Now, I think it's phenomenal to start off with Christ addressing the crisis that he was in and mm-hmm. how he handled it. What was his strategy? How did he proceed? How did he go? What was his technique? What was the outcome? Now Christ turns around and he goes, let me have a conversation with the church. This is what's going on. Let me have a conversation, look at scripture and some different scenarios, two scenarios, three scenarios out of scripture. This is what happened. This was the crisis. This was the situation. These were the players. This is what my remedy was. This is what my solution was. Now I need to talk to the church, or I need to talk to clergy. I need to talk to Christians. I need to talk to the community. I need to talk to non-believers. Mm-hmm. These are the crises that's going on. This is how we got there. This is where we're at. And this is the strategy to get out of that place. And so that's what this is all about. In the midst of all of this, the conclusion should be is that we begin to have these healing conversations. We begin to understand something about Henderson's word is the relevancy. So we begin to understand something about the relevancy of Christ throughout the ages, throughout culture. We begin to understand this is Christ's solution in the midst of everything that's going on. This is how he brings us to a place of sexual and relational and redemptive and restorative healing. This is, you know, I think one of the things I was speaking with Overseer about, I've been sealed, but I'm not healed. And so now I realize this, now the sealing is coming up off of the wounds and the scabs, but it is not healed underneath. This is how you get to the place of various types of healing. So as leaders in a variety or in various capacities, I need to understand what Christ is saying. I need to understand as clergy, what is he saying to me as clergy? What is he saying to me as a counselor? What is he saying to me as a spouse? What is he saying to me as a child? What is he saying to me as a victim? What is he saying to me as the predator? You know, so understanding the various voices and the stages of those voices in the midst of these different crises.
Okay, Apostle. Scenario. Can you help play it out or help bring it out?
Probably not right now.
I give you a scenario like to me that would fit in this. Like the lady, I don't know the full story, but the lady that I believe it was Christ that said something about giving something to the dog.
Okay, so for me, I need the scripture. So she gave the scenario. Somebody on the line find the scripture because I clearly need the scripture.
I was kind of lost with the scenario with the lady.
Christ told her that it was something about scraps to the dog or crumbs to the dog, or and she said,
is it even the dog get the scrap from that falls from
yes.
the master's table?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. But I need
the
scripture.
Sure what her main issue
Matthew 15:17.
Okay, so who? Thank you for all those that found it. Could somebody read it?
Matthew 15, what?
John 27.
Huh?
And it says
27.
27?
15, 21 through 28.
It says,
okay, so Matthew 15, what is it?
It says, Matthew
what is
15. Matthew 15, and it goes, it's the faith of the Canaanite woman, and it goes into from 21 to 26.
Eight.
He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dog eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, women, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure what her problem was, but it was the daughter that was sick. So, Apostle.
The daughter was suffering from a demon possession.
Well, I was going to say, surely that scripture doesn't start right there, but that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so that's yeah. we're flexible here. We're pliable.
Apostle?
Yes,
Canaanite
I'm here.
To the Lord. Well, I was going to ask a question, but I didn't know whether you were going to say something else about the
No. Go on, I'm listening. Can you
tell no, I'm just wondering, so is it established when you're using the term crisis in the culture, crisis in the church, crisis in Christians, have those established,
wow.
have those areas been established? Then
no,
I think it'll be so much easier to go back and
yeah.
run the scriptures, you know, that'll fit in those categories, you know, once we at least determine what three areas we're doing. So is it the culture and then the church and then I don't know what the other one was. Similar to what
right.
Elder Katie, Evangelist Katie mentioned, us, them, and I forget how she said, him, them, and us. But that same kind of thing, maybe a little bit more broader with the culture, because then you can get a lot of different Old and New Testament, you know. Same thing with, you know, looking at Christ and, you know, with it from the lens of the culture or the community or the church. But I think the culture and the church would definitely be two areas that would be, that would resonate with folks. And it seems like that's a term I've been hearing you say over and over again in this conversation.
I was just going to say that there are a lot of Old Testament examples. Daniel had a crisis. Jonah had a crisis. Rahab had a crisis. You know, so there are a lot of scenarios of people who had crises in the Old Testament. And then what we're doing right now is the New Testament stuff. And then we have to biblically bring it to today with our own crisis.
Okay, so I think the first thing that we have to do, and we could definitely look at this scenario, but we definitely have to determine this one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on that page. This is healing through the lens of the healer. Check. Somebody make a note of it. It is conversations with Christ. In or from, we'll figure that out, his chamber, and Christ is talking to, he is talking to the church, he is talking to culture, and he is talking to either clinician or clergy. Pick one. Oh, it's actually
so, Apostle, this is what I heard you say, and if I'm wrong, then please let me know. So the conversation chamber, the first hour we could talk about Christ in crisis. We could pick three biblical examples of he himself in a crisis. His friend died, temptation from the devil, or yielding to his own will. Those are examples. The second hour could be the church in crisis. Now, we just have to identify, are we going to talk about biblical characters, or are we going to actually talk about the church, like in Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira was tempted to lie, when Peter was in prison and they had to pray for him. We could talk about in Corinthians where the man was sleeping, where the son was sleeping with the wife, and Paul said, turn him over to the devil. So we can actually look at the church from a biblical lens. And then in the third hour, we could talk about the community in crisis and bring it to this present day. So what's happening today? Now, then the next thing we will have to probably look at is who is responding. It sounds like you said that how Christ responds to all these lens, or we can break it down and say, this is how Christ responded when he was in a lens. The church, this is how the church responded when he was in a lens and when they were in their lens. And then lastly, we could say, this is how culture responds when the community in a lens. And then we could come back in that fourth hour and really talk about the overall how Christ will respond to it, how we should respond to it, and things of that nature.
Are you serious? You've been quiet all this time, and now you come for a storm and put all of that in there when we're scuffling, struggling, trying to
see. Y'all making it harder than what it is.
See, that's
just
why
like
I was trying to get the time frame. So
well,
just said it's not as long.
Figure everything out, and here you come, and bam, bam, bam.
I mean, that's what she said. So what are we doing?
That's who he is. He's a prophet. He's supposed to bring clarity.
But see, that was my question from the beginning, is how long is it going to be? You just told us it's 4 hours long. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he just told us. Yeah, he just settled that. 4 hours long.
I'm like, you know, keep it short and simple. He just said it's 4 hours. Okay. Don't matter.
I'm talking about understanding the whole scenario for myself. I can't speak for all of you all that head up there, you know, but I'm speaking for
he brought clarity
yes,
to me, too. I think that is
yeah.
good. I think that we definitely
yes.
need to, before we do it, have comfortable teaching or training around it so that people feel stuck. They can,
yeah.
you know, get an answer. But, yeah, so is
yeah.
that what we're doing? Okay.
yeah. Wouldn't hurt.
That was great.
Okay.
Well, all right.
So, in essence, it's Christ crisis, not people in the Bible crisis.
No, it's all of them. It's Christ, the church, and the culture. And then how he responded versus how we responded versus how the culture responded.
So that's why I brought up this Canaanite woman. We went to another... Okay, I'll talk to Apostle in private.
If Apostle's talking, we can't hear you.
I'm not talking.
Okay.
You all were talking.
Y'all got it?
So, I definitely get excited when I hear the various gift mixtures coming together and sharing. And it may sound chaotic, but in the midst of it, it's information that has to be released so that what needs to manifest for an experience can manifest.
So this is phenomenal, the exchange, the sharing, and the formation and development that has come as a result of it, so that it can all be connected and tied in. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So with all of this wonderful information in mind, I definitely heard somebody say, I don't recall who, that in listening to what Prophet said, or in listening, let me put it that way, that they took away that this should be 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. He said it.
I don't know that what I am looking to see accomplished can be accomplished within just 4 hours. And what I've come to realize is that people will give whatever time they're going to give. And so we fully respect that. And we will free people as they need to be freed, or they can free themselves or release themselves from the process. Because the other thing that this is to do is to be a training for those individuals that are going through the soul care or coaching or essential worker class, and then those individuals who are going through the ordination process, and they have some kind of apostolic, prophetic, pastoral care attached to their assignment, so that they can understand how their assignment fits in with this. With all those wonderful things in mind, we definitely know it is July 10th, I believe that. July 10th. I think a good starting time is 10 a.m.
That's a Saturday, 7:10, 10 a.m.
Again, I don't know that it could be over by 2, but I think if we give it 4, and it ends at 1, that's 5. But at least people have a scope, because I want people to be able to go into breakout rooms and have some dialogue, to come up with some case studies, to be able to really within their group lead some healthy discussions.
Yeah, Apostle, we can, I mean, we definitely, it doesn't have to be 4 hours.
I mean, one moment,
please. Somebody else talking?
One moment.
Okay.
One moment, because I can't hear you. Okay, could someone, whoever was speaking, could you repeat yourself, please?
Okay, that was me. I was saying that, I mean, I didn't say 4 hours. I was just saying the first couple of hours of how it can look. If we do go with the 3 scenarios, we can have 3 breakout rooms going at the same time in that hour. If we know what we're talking about, we can give people an option to possibly choose where they would like to go. Or even if we know it once they get on, we can set it up where those people can choose where they want to go, let a person choose which breakout room they want to go to. And then, like you said, afterwards we can come back and have conversations. People can share. So you're looking at about an hour and a half, really, if we do it that way. First hour, then 30 minutes of, you know, giving people an event and the conversation to say it, and then we can repeat that same scenario. People can choose in a second hour where they want to go as it relates to when the church is in crisis and how people respond, and then the same thing with the third hour. And then we can have that fourth hour. I mean, in my mind, one of the things that we could possibly do is if we identify the clinician, if we identify the counselor, if we identify the coach,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the other one you said, that last mm-hmm. hour, we can then, they can do a round table and talk about how they respond or what would they respond in all of those scenarios. You know what I mean? So it can be a conversation with them. It can still also be interactive for the people. You know, maybe we can give the people an opportunity to do questions and answers. Maybe we have some already answers, you know, and then we can run our polls. You know, like people were doing, and say, hey, when crisis is crisis, your friend was dying, would you have left or would you have left? I'm sorry. I don't know if that's somebody else on my mute with me. We can do polls like that as well. I think since Evangelist Katie is the solution person, she can come up with scriptures. Because sometimes counted all joy is not appropriate. You know what I mean? Don't tell me counted joy is time out. So we can have polls like that. Is that appropriate for a death and a month? You know what I mean? And what people think, and that can build conversation. And I think that will also give us the opportunity to see where everyone is at.
Okay. So Henderson, say something again, please. Anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I put everybody on the board on mute just so that we could silence the background. So we're just going to ask everybody to put your phone on mute, please, unless you're speaking, so that we can alleviate all the background noise. So I'm taking you off mute, but it was very difficult to hear what the prophet was saying. Okay, so that is the format. The last thing I wanted to do is I wanted Christ clinicians to speak. So that became very important that we heard from Christ clinicians in a roundtable type of scenario. I definitely think doing the Q&A and the polls and things like that just will become things that make it user friendly. So. That's fine. Oh, who? I think this. Okay. So everybody, unless you're speaking, please keep your phones on mute. So that the way we definitely wanted to make sure that we got clinicians because this particular one was important to bring the clinician to the table, crisis clinicians to the table. So we will look at the church, we will look at culture, we will look at community. Okay, so Christ will speak to them. We will get Christ's response, the church's response, and the culture's response. And then we will hear what Christ is suggesting or the solution to these scenarios are, and we will hear that as we hear clinicians. We definitely can have Q&A and all of those great things. When we met a month ago, we gave some phenomenal scriptures. I thought the scriptures were phenomenal, and I'm just going to restate them. Psalms 119:71, the TPT version, Psalms 34:17-20, 2 Kings 20:5, Isaiah 59:1. And then Evangelist Katie just kind of gave some overview scriptures from James 1:2-4 and Matthew 11:28. And so we want to make sure that we have those. You all were responsible for coming back today with some scriptorial, what do you want to call them, with some scriptorial examples of different crises that took place biblically so that we can pull from them and do just some relevance to today. One of the things that was sent was that as we look at culture, let me turn to that text. As we look at culture, there are so many different cultures within a culture and so many different cultures within a community that's looking for acceptance. And so when we begin to look at community and cultures, I'm taking it from a broader sense. So one of the things that was stated was that within communities, you have these varying cultures within their domain, and you can have the transgender people within a church community, hold on, phone went out, hiding and waiting for acceptance. How would we examine this as a crisis? So I think in getting these different texts, that one of the things that we can do, today is the 8th, you know, we can do by Monday the 10th is look at, create a scenario. It's just everybody brings one scenario to the table, one scenario. And then we can begin to break it down and go, this is how the, this is the church, the culture, the community, this is Christ, etc. We can break it down. So I was hoping that we would be able to do that today, but we didn't have the time, so didn't bring, were unable to forward or bring all of their varying biblical examples. One of the things that someone suggested is that as we look at what Christ is saying to the church that's in crisis, we can look at the pastoral epistles, or we can look at the churches of Revelation. That is definitely going to add a very interesting twist. If you look at the churches in the book of Revelation, to see what those churches look like today. And truly, you can find all of the churches in the book of Revelation within the scope of faith today. And so what he said then, and first of all, drawing the comparison, and then understanding how to deal with it and address it. So I think that we have some very interesting things that we can begin to look at and to begin to share and draw people into. So our Zoom capacity for this is about 90 people, and I believe we will do good. If we can have a target goal of 75 people on Zoom actively engaging, learning, and participating so that they can go back to their own people group and share some solutions. You all use the word solutionist often. And so maybe one of the things we need, problem, the scriptures are helpful as well as the scenarios. So thank you. Thank you to everybody that sent scriptures and to those that sent scenarios. So thank you. You know, if what is the solution? Okay, we want to walk away not just giving people information, but we want to give them some scriptural solutions. And so those are two definite goals that I want us to have in mind. So with all of that being said, and with the 22 minutes that we have left on this call, let's break this down. So we understand it is church, culture, community, and clinicians. We hear the voices from the, and then what Christ says. We have a time from 10 to 4. So let's make some assignments. That the first assignment is by Monday the 10th. Okay, hold on. I've got a lot of text coming in here. Oh, Jesus. All righty then. Thank you for those crises. Ooh-wee. About 6 or 7 of those. All right. So by Monday the 10th, we want to have, all of the crisis and scenarios presented. Okay. And the best way to present them, I'm going to tell you now where to send them. Laborers.lfcm@gmail.com. Please don't send them to me. send them to laborers, laborers.lfgmail.com. Please send all of the information there so it can all be in one location, and that way we're not texting and emailing and saying, oh, what about this via conversation, just because there's so much going on. So, again, send everything to laborers.lfcm@gmail.com. Let's get those in by Monday the 10th. And then in the subject line, put crisis or put the word scenario or crisis and scenario. That would be phenomenal. Crisis. Please put that in the subject line so that as we retrieve all that information, we can be very progressive with it. So one of the goals is going to be how do we begin to create these connections? How do we begin to connect Christ and his solutions to these different Christ? So I think that that would be fun, coming up with some strategies on how to do that. So I think it was very beneficial when we did it before, so I believe we should do it again. It's the daily scripture, and so we want to, I'm just going to write on this. We want to identify some people. If I could get two people that will just come up with a total of 30 daily scriptures. Okay? So we just want 30 daily scriptures, and we want two people. Number two, the other thing, so decree.
What the daily scriptures are we coming up with 30 daily scriptures that do what?
Whoever is speaking got cut off.
Okay, 30 daily scriptures, but what are the 30 scriptures to do?
The daily scriptures that we came up, they are encouraging, they're connecting Christ to crisis.
Okay.
So they're the connection. Okay. We always want to see Christ in the midst of all of our situations. And so people need to be encouraged to know that he is in the midst. He's in the midst of the fire with us. You may not see him or feel him. You may not even like him, his presence there, but he's there. So this is the connection of Christ to our crisis.
Got it.
Yes, he's in the fire with us. Okay. So thank you, Elder. You have all 30. Okay, well, the 30 scriptures, that task is completed. Thank you. Thing I need are soul decrees. Soul decrees. I think writing soul decrees, another word for soul decrees are affirmations. So somebody didn't know what soul decrees were last time. So that was my fault. I should have said affirmations. It's an affirmation. If that's a better word. So if we can get 1, 2, 3, 4. If we could get 5 people to do 6 soul decrees or affirmations.
Math is a beast.
Okay. So soul decrees, I need 5 people to give me 6.
Okay, this is Brenda Winslow. I work on the soul decrees.
I already... Amen. Amen, Minister Brenda.
Minister Brenda.
It's so funny. All right, I need 1, 2, 3. I need 4 more people to give me some soul decrees. Thank you, Dr. Kathy. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Pastor T. Okay, I'm going to give the due date for those assignments in a moment. Thank you. So thank you for scriptures, Elder Arlette. Soul decrees, Minister Brenda Pass, and I think somebody else just texted me too.
I'll do soul decrees. I'm driving. Elder Lynette.
Thank you, Elder Lynette.
I'll be the last one.
Okay, well, thank you, Evangelist Katie. Okay, so now moving on. So we have the daily scripture. Elder Arlette and Minister Pat, thank you. The soul decrees, Minister Brenda, Pastor T, Dr. Kathy, Elder Elect Lynette, and Evangelist Katie. We trying to retext and all this. All right, so we need the promises for God. If Christ is indeed in the midst of our crisis, he got in there because he was a promise, or he is the promise. So I need 30 promises from God, and thank you, Elder Roberta. I need four more people to give me some promises from God. Thank you, Elder Roberta, for your first five. Thank you, Overseer. One time. Okay, just hold on. All right. So I have Elder Roberta. Overseer who? Which overseer? Oh, Overseer Paul. Paul. Okay, I need three more people to give me promises from God. I think it's good. Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Kathy. And you know what? Promises for God are now closed because those three people did lots of them. All righty. So I think that this is phenomenal, so thank you for that suggestion, Prophet. I need somebody to make a... I'm going to just say it. If I have it wrong, I have no doubt that will correct me. I need like a web page or a Google Doc, a Google Calendar. And on the Google Calendar, it should have a link that you click the link and all of these things come up for 30 days.
I volunteer, Elder.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, this is a twist.
Wait. Did I just get volunteered?
You really did just get volunteer. I thought that.
Wait a minute, and you got a volunteer for a web-based calendar?
So listen, I need a Google Doc. I believe it is called a Google Doc. And all this cool stuff that we're talking about, these daily scriptures, these soul decrees, and these promises for God will appear on this Google Doc, and all you do is clink.
But I'm just saying, I have no idea how you do that. I honestly don't. As far as embedding it into the calendar.
I
was going to probably going to give me tutorials and all of these kinds of things, because I have no idea.
I've never tried to do that, though. So I'm putting together a Google. Hold on, Google. I'm putting together a Google Doc team, and it is, please listen for your name. It is Elder. Oh, that's the wrong name. Elder Deborah, Elder Arlette, and Elder April. All of you all are forever sending me something talking about Google something. She sends me something, and it just automatically appears on the calendar. So I don't doubt. I don't know how to find them calendars. She be sending that stuff to me on. But okay. She should have been, I believe her. So I think that's phenomenal. So that is changing the due dates for everything. So I need you all to be listening in this moment right now, okay? So that definitely changes the due date. So because this conference is July, oh, I'm in 2022. You guys are really holding me back. Okay, I have to give up 2021 calendar. So because this conference is July 10th of whatever year this is, 2021, I need this calendar to be ready to be sent out around the 3rd or 4th of June, which will mean, I hope everybody hears me, that I need all of this information formatted and attached with links by the 1st of June, sent in, ready to have this meeting so that we know how to, the Google Doc people can figure that out. Now, what I also believe will be phenomenal, two more things that have to go on this calendar. So I hope you're listening, Overseer. Two more things that have to go on this calendar. I want prayers. I want a daily prayer, and I want daily worship.
Apostle,
I'm listening.
The Google document that we use for your strategy meeting, we can use it. They can use that. I won't say we. They can use that same format in a shared document. It's just a link for people to attach to it, or we can put it on the laborer's website. It can be embedded on the website, and people just go to our site every day to get their new whatever.
Hold on. So the Google Doc I've seen is Elder Deborah, Elder Arlette, Elder April, and Yvette Kitty, and I know you guys will work it out without telling me. Okay. So I definitely want, but let me just put my request in so that we're clear. I want a separate document, but I think it would be super cool if it is also placed on the website. So once the document is available, you all will be responsible for getting the completed, the confirmed, completed document to Apostle Hook so he can put on the website. And somebody will be responsible for having me the link to be sent out to everybody by June 1st. That is so simply phenomenal. I'm moving on now. Prayer and worship. It's about, hold on. Oh, wow. There are about 12 or 13 people on the line, so I don't want to leave anybody out. Of course, I don't really know who all these people are, but I know the first three digits to this phone number is Pastor T. So, you know, all of the wonderful people that's on this line, Pittman, Pastor T, quite a few people. I don't want to leave you guys out. So I need prayer and worship. I'm just talking about that a lot. I don't do that. So do I have some volunteers for prayer? Or you'll know you've been volunteered because I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number out and tell you I need your prayer. Do I have any volunteers for prayer?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is how I'm going to do this ministry. That's a longer list.
Apostle, what form is that taking?
I said, whoever is speaking, can you speak louder, please? Or clearer?
What form? is the prayer and worship taking? Are we performing that? Are we writing that? Are we what?
Well, you know, I would say that the prayer is definitely something that has to be scripted. Now, I'm not into the Google Doc thing, so I'm not really sure how it works. But in my mind, this is just my mind, you may be able to speak it. It's a link. You click it, and they can hear you pray. I think that would be super cool. I don't know why that can't happen. But, you know, you have to ask those people that do that.
That leads me to a follow-up question for people who are Google savvy. Apostle is talking about Google Docs, and we've been using that to write collaboratively with one another so all of us know what the other one has written. My question is, and someone can answer it for me if you can, don't they have to be accessed by people with Google accounts in Gmail?
We already have a Google account set up.
I'm talking
about. So we don't have to reinvent it.
Apostle wants a document created that can be accessed by whoever's attending or whatever. Will they be able to access that if they do not have a Google account or Gmail?
My short answer is yes, because it's a link that you click on like a web page to get to. And my short answer is yes, I haven't tested it outside of that because everything I got is attached to Google.
No, if you don't have a Google account, if you don't have a Gmail, they're going to prompt you to sign up for Gmail. So the perfect scenario would be to create a Gmail and a Yahoo so that people can who have Gmail can have it on their Gmail calendar, and people who have Yahoo can have it on their Yahoo calendar. That's a whole different work. But if you send me a Google calendar, it's going to prompt me to format a Gmail account. I already have a Gmail account, and a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. Then that's how that scenario is going to work.
If you've got a smartphone, you usually already have a Gmail account, and it's going to be accessible from that unit. But I have a way to test it. I'll test it.
Okay. Yeah. Lazarus, Williams, Henderson. Who else is giving me prayers? McMillan. Pastor Winslow. Oh, thank you, Pittman. Oh, Evangelist Shannon, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Diane. So what we will have is I can get somebody to bring the list tomorrow to church that has 30 slots on it. It just needs to have 30 open spaces so that I can have everybody sign up for prayer and prefer, and actually you can just put day one, day two, day three like that, and then I can fill that out the rest of the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody's
mic is open.
Oh, somebody is.
Whoever's in church, please mute your phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
A rehearsal or...
All right, so if I can get that sheet at church tomorrow, that would be simply phenomenal. Thank you very much. And then a worship.
What sheet, Apostle? We couldn't hear you. What sheet?
Someone is bringing a sheet tomorrow that has 30 slots that's going to say day one, day two, so that I can fill in people's names for the day that they are responsible for turning in the prayer. So that's completed. Oh, shoot. Let's see if I can touch. So we have our soul decrees. We have our daily scriptures. We have our promises. We have our Google.iteam people. We have our prayer, and we have our worship. And so the only other aspect of this, how to get the mind, body, soul in here. See how we get the, okay, looking now, the scenarios, remember the scenarios and crisis are due Monday. The 10th, they're being sent in to laborers, laborers@gmail.com. They are being sent to that particular email address. And then you all will receive the conversational platform that you're responsible for. Unless you're on the line now and you know you want to be a part of the church, culture, or community. If you're on the line now and you know you want to be a part of church / culture / community, if you're on the line now and you know you want to be a part of one of those three platforms, this is a phenomenal time to tell me. Is there anybody on the, thank you. Is there anybody on the line that knows they want to be a part of church, community, or culture? Oh, shoot. Okay. I got to look at, you guys are killing me with these texts. I can't keep up. Okay. I have you. Anybody else on the line know that you want to be a part of the platform of community, church, or culture? I have the one that sent in culture. I have the one that sent in church. Anybody else other than those two people? I'm going to assume by your silence that means no. I don't know what she's signing up for. No one? Okay, so everybody else just wants to be assigned? Okay, no problem. I can definitely do that. So you will be assigned community, church, or culture, except for the two people who sent in their request. Everybody else will be assigned. So I'm on community now, and so on community, I put Dr. Kathy, and I put Elder Deborah. I got to see. Oh, now people want to text me. Under culture, I put McMillan and Prophet. Oh, my. Messed that up. Look at that. Hold on. Under community, I put Elder April.
Under culture, I put Evangelist Katie. I'm not sure who I'm working on Minister Pat and Elder Roberta right now. I'm not sure. And the Winslow.
Sticky low.
Paper towel again. Elder Roberta. Anybody else? Elder Roberta. Winslow.
Lynette, community.
Minister Pat. Okay, I have you there, Elder.
Lynette.
Okay, so community, Dr. Kathy, Elder April, Elder Deborah, Elder Elect Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so I am working to place Elder Roberta, the Winslows, Pastor and Minister, and Minister Pat. Am I missing anybody? All right, wonderful. Any questions, comments, or concerns before we close? I'm sorry, somebody, 2370. If you were trying to say something, I didn't see you come in. My apology. 2370. So.
Apostle.
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
Pastor T, for the prayers, how many prayers are we to submit?
Oh, well, everybody has one day. I mean, I guess if you want to sign up for more than one day, that's acceptable.
How many days are there?
I just made it 30, to tell you the truth. 30 was my number I was working with across the board.
Oh, yeah. Because the reason why I asked is because you said a minute amount of people for 30 days. That's why I asked how many prayers. Okay, I signed up for one day. Thanks.
Isn't for prayer? You're already on here, Pastor.
I know, but you just said unless I want more than one day.
Oh, okay. No. So remember, I said that is the sheet that's coming to church. So you all
okay.
can literally put your name on it.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. All right. So does anybody have anything else? All right. We're going to have 1, 2, 3, probably 3 more slots. For culture and 1, 2, 3, 4. One more slot for community and 4 slots for church. So I will be filling you in appropriately. Thank you for your time. Phenomenal meeting. I'm actually pretty excited about what you guys are going to come up with. There is a lot of literature out there. When you all brought it up last week, I tried to do some searching. There is a lot of literature out there about Christ in crisis, the church in crisis. Everybody is in the midst of a crisis. Good Lord. So I am going to add something later on. For those people who are bored, I want us to be able to look at the crisis that the gifts and the anointings are in. So I think I want to tie that in at the end, the crisis of our gifts and anointings. But if I do that right now, it would just be too much. So I definitely believe that Scripture talks about a prophetic crisis and an apostolic crisis and a pastoral crisis. And so I think it would be really, really cool to just do a quick look at that with a plan to do a future conversation about it. So a quick look for a future conversation, and I know that we probably cannot accomplish this in this one that's coming up in July, but you know, if it is at all possible to give an honorable, to just give some dialogue about if we have the individuals available to do it. I want to look at the crisis of our youth or our men. So that's it. That's it. That's it. Gord Henderson, I have a fit. So, somebody want to ask any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, or input? No? Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Remember, there is no June meeting because for the June meeting, we will all be at the prophetic conference. Quite a few of you on the line will be participating. So the June meeting, I want to say that we'll be at that prophetic conference. More information is forthcoming, but all of the candidates will be that are a part of the prophetic apostolic school will be serving, so we will not have a meeting. Then we are going to try to schedule something else for June. I just don't know when or how we'll get that in there, but we will have another coming together so that we can prepare for July. Also so we can get, you know, just some publicity, advertisement, and things of that nature. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If there are no questions, comments, concerns, and or suggestions, can somebody close us out in prayer? Bless you. We honor you. We thank you just for the opportunity to be used by you and to serve you by serving your people. We thank you for how you position us, Lord God. We thank you for just how you use us, Lord God. We thank you for the gathering of your people, the gathering of your gifts and your anointings, Lord God. And we thank you for the global purpose behind these gatherings, Lord. May we come to know and even get a glimpse into just this kingdom assignment that is before us, and may we become sensitive to your voice to hear how you would have us to posture and to prepare ourselves for this kingdom assignment. Father, we thank you for those who have gathered. Thank you for those who will collect scriptures, those who will make decrees, those who will extract the promises from your word for your people. Thank you for those that will do the worship and the prayer. Thank you for the Google I team, Lord. Thank you for those that serve on the platform for culture, community, church, and then lastly, Christ clinicians. Thank you for your soul care and your soul care workers. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are the solution. But teach us how to present that solution in a way where it is pliable, in a way where it is digestible, in a way where it is embraceable. And thank you, and we have the opportunity to be transformed by you and become agents of transformation. And we thank you for the process and the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.